Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Blake, are back, and today we are doing another episode of Everything You Need to Know About, and we are discussing Stephanie LaGrossa Kendrick, who is now Stephanie LaGrossa Kendrick, was Stephanie LaGrossa the last time she played. Married a Phillies pitcher, from what I understand. She is now 45 years old. She's played Survivor three times. She finished seventh in her first season of Palau. She finished second in Guatemala. And then she finished 19th in Heroes versus Villains. So we haven't seen her since that. She was on Snake in the Grass, on the same one as Suri and Rachel Riley. She does not win. She was the snake. She ultimately loses. And then she plays the Traitors and once again loses to Suri. So here is Stephanie coming out onto this season, having played three different things with Suri and actually like been a factor in that, right? Like she actually was on her starting tribe in Heroes versus Villains. She actually was with her in Snake in the Grass and she played deep into the Traitors with Suri. So big relationship there. I know there's been rumors circulating that Stephanie's going to go after Suri and it's like, I highly doubt it. But anyway, She's best known definitely for being on the last surviving member of the Oolong tribe on Palau, where that tribe got absolutely decimated, and she was the last remaining person from that tribe. So Stephanie's coming back. This really isn't surprising to me, although I feel like a lot of people are kind of asking the question of why. So let's dive into everything we need to know about her. Blake, I'll turn it over to you. What's your take from Stephanie being here?
Hello, I'm Blake. I think the one thought process whenever we're looking at it and you do some trivia and you are, okay, why Stephanie? Why is she important to the history of the show? What's the one sentence that breaks it open for you? I think the one for her is she's the only female captain to ever show up by herself. I guess that's wrong, though, because there's Wentworth and what's-her-face. Aubrey.
Yeah, but they weren't tribe captains, so they're saying that it's literally this one person is considered right. The captain of the tribe, like they did with...
So we had Coach, we had Ozzy, they're both in here.
Yeah, Russell.
Mariano and Russell Hantz, they didn't make it because I didn't think they wanted to open either of those doors again. So were we going to get Bobby John Drinker to come back? No. Stephanie's the more important one. She won Fire. She gets to play Survivor a fourth time. Bobby John can only settle for two. So I think that's the sentence of she's the only female captain in the history. But you're like, oh, a Guatemala rep or is she a Palau rep? And you're like,
she's okay. A Palau rep.
Right. And like in your heart of hearts, I think probably Stephanie's been asked this is in your heart, are you a Palau rep or a Guatemala rep? Like which one did you like better? Which one did you think was more... not as fun. And I think she would maybe have a different view than some fans and maybe a different view than some. I don't know. Would you rather do the one where you lost by five votes or six votes?
Would you rather be the one where you're literally the hero of the season, despite the fact that you're the biggest loser in the history? Yeah, I'll take that over being the losing finalist.
I wouldn't want to go through an Oolong experience ever in my life. Like that sounds terrible.
I mean, that is why she's iconic, though. That is what made Stephanie Stephanie.
Okay, so right? What does Oolong mean to all the people who are watching this being like, you guys keep saying a bunch of stuff. I have no idea. Oolong is her original tribe on Survivor Palau. However, this is the worst performing tribe in immunity challenges in the history of the show. They started out, I think it was 9v9, and Oolong goes all the way down. They only got a double boot to knock out somebody from Koror. So they end up, Bobby John and Stephanie lose seven times, lose every member of their time. What's going to happen next? We'll probably merge. And then it was like, no, there's one more. And Bobby John and Stephanie lose again. And so that's the first time we see fire making.
Yeah, so she's the first person to ever win a fire making challenge at Tribal Council. Which I think is a really interesting little fun fact for Stephanie here. So here's why I think Stephanie
Immunity challenge before, but she's a
because we had seen Hatch do it or something like that. But here's why I actually think Stephanie's a really fascinating choice for this. Stephanie plays on the last season that doesn't have an immunity idol, and then she plays on the first season that does have an immunity idol. And then she plays on an all returning season. So she's played all three different forms as well, right? Like she played on an all newbie season. She played on a captain season. Now, then she goes and plays on an all returning season. We've also seen her play in different eras of Survivor because even though we didn't really see her get anywhere in Heroes versus Villains, because obviously her versus James was the big storyline for those first two episodes with her. We still see her on a season where idols are a different thing than what they were in Guatemala. Remember, they don't even know that the idol is a thing when they're stepping foot until Jeff says it's going to be there, I think around final eight or nine or something when it gets announced to everybody. So she's played in different eras of Survivor in a way that like Jenna Lewis hasn't, that Colby hasn't, because Colby got to play a much more thorough game with idols in Heroes versus Villains. But Stephanie kind of was like, at that transition period of Survivor. So I think that that's pretty compelling. And she's the first person to ever win the fire making at Tribal Council. So if she were to get to Final Four, obviously it's a totally different thing than it was back in season 10, which was the first season she played on. However, she's won a fire making challenge at Tribal Council. Like, she has done that, which is something that is very important to the game now. So I think that there's a lot that makes sense about her coming back here. And I also think that it's still the storyline of what she was in Palau that carries through. People kind of forget that Stephanie was like the evil twin of Palau Stephanie in Guatemala, right? Like, she gets one vote against Danny Boatwright. And most of the people hate her. But do they hate her because they had such high expectations for her? Or do they hate her because she's actually unlikable? Because then when she comes back and she plays in Heroes versus Villains, her and James go at it nonstop. But it's also like the alliances that were built in Heroes versus Villains were built before the game really even started. So I think that will be interesting to see how she plays on this season, because she's been on a tribe with Ceree. She's been on a tribe with Colby. She's actually played the game with two people who are going to be on her cast. And you know, played all six of her days with those people. So, and Colby was actually a big defender of her. Colby was on Team Stephanie early on, which is what gets him in trouble, which is why it's always amazing he's the last remaining hero. But there's a lot here about Stephanie that I think
Colby's
actually
going to be on the new season too. So maybe they'll be friends.
That's what I'm saying. If they team up, it could be something. But just to put last thing here to tell you how bad Oolong was, just so everybody knows, they lost 11 of 14 pre-merge challenges. 11 of 14 pre-merge challenges. That's how bad they were. And the three they won were all rewards.
So for people that did not watch Oolong, that you're trying to disperse this information quick enough, were they bad? Were they unlucky? Did they not work together? Were they headstrong? Were they stubborn? What is the adjectives you would use to describe Stephanie and the rest of her crew of failures?
They just were not cohesive. I mean, Jeff rolling his ankle early on in that season, he's their biggest, strongest guy. He gets hurt, so that's that. They were stupid. They voted out. They had a dumb boot order. That's really what it was. They had no leadership, and they had a dumb boot order. And it's always funny to watch the beginning of that season, because in the first four team challenges, they actually win two of them. They win two of the first four team challenges, but they win rewards, not immunities. And that's the problem. And then what's funny is for the rest of it, they win one of the last 10. So when you think about how bad they get, again, it comes down to the boot order. The fact that they get rid of Jolanda first, and then they turn around and they get rid of, what is it? Is it Kim next? And then like, what, or it's Ashley or something, and then it's Kim. But whatever the order is, it's a stupid order.
Oh, it's Ashley next.
Yeah. It's Ashley, then Jeff, then Kim. That's what it is. And then Angie. So it's like, when you look at how they were voting people out, they were voting so much based on personality and not so much on gameplay. And Stephanie really isn't the reason for that. Stephanie's all about keep the tribe strong. That was her mentality in Guatemala. That was her mentality there. That was her mentality in Heroes versus Villains. And she felt that she was one of the stronger people, and she couldn't believe that she was getting voted out. But one voice, as James yells at her numerous times, and that's ultimately what gets her. So the one game, though, where I feel like we have the most information about Stephanie is probably Guatemala. And it's the one that people talk the least about when it comes to Stephanie.
Also, do you think right now, I'm joking. You're going to be getting this probably 2 weeks into them. Has Stephanie's shoulder survived 2 weeks? Like, I think that was another thing of, who cares who's winning this argument? Like, Stephanie, how's your shoulder doing?
Yeah.
And popping it out in the first challenge, I complain about stuff if I stub my toe and I don't want to go to the grocery store or the movie theater anymore. I can't imagine popping a shoulder out and having to do survivor challenges. But Stephanie probably works out more than I do.
And her shoulder was bad when she was 30. Her first season, she was 25. She's now 45 going out to play. So that shoulder's not better. That's for sure.
Because it was 24, 25, 29 for her first three seasons. So what do you expect her to do as a 40-year-old? Like, how does that change her style of play?
I mean, I think she's still going to be really competitive and try to be physical. It's just a matter of, okay, let's look at this cast. And so Stephanie obviously loses a lot of challenges, right? She wins the reward challenge in Heroes Villains and then loses everything else. She wins one individual immunity in Guatemala and one reward, I think, but loses all the other individual stuff. In Palau, obviously, she doesn't win anything. She wins three rewards, doesn't win a single immunity the entire season. Think about that. Stephanie LaGrossa was never safe from a vote. She does not win an immunity the entire season. So I think she'll still rely on her physical attributes, though, because she actually was quite athletic. She actually was pretty good at challenges. My question to you is, when you look at this cast, even though she's 45, who's beating her from the female perspective? Like, Chrissy comes in, she's won four individual immunities, but Chrissy's also mid-50s now. Is she really going to be stronger than Stephanie in challenges? I don't necessarily think so. D probably beats the crap out of Stephanie in challenges. I don't think that's really close. But I'm not worried about Aubrey. I'm not worried about Sari. I'm not worried about Jenna Lewis. You know, so you kind of get my point here. I'm not worried about Angelina.
You think Genevieve's been in the gym for the last year knowing she's going for 50 at all?
I highly doubt it. That's not Genevieve's game. And I think Stephanie's game is physical. And I think that's why the Traders ultimately wasn't really a good fit for Stephanie, despite her pretty good placement, because that Stephanie's not the social player. We saw that in Guatemala. Stephanie is.
Let's talk about Guatemala. Let's get it out of, like, all right, what happened in Guatemala with Stephanie? Of, she's America's sweetheart. Do you think she benefited from being the captain of, like, everyone's like, I want to be your best friend. I want to, it's not celebrity at that point, but it's like, you do know what you're talking about from Survivor. Just none of an all-star cast is going to give her the room to breathe like they did on Guatemala. And I think maybe that was already displayed on Heroes versus Villains. But I think a large part, I don't want to discount her game completely, but there was the thought process of, not only is Stephanie really strong in challenges in Guatemala, but she knows what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And we could probably get rid of her whenever if we get tired of her. And I think in Guatemala, she found some strong people. Judd flips on the other side to just doom like half the cast. He goes right after. And then at Final Five, it's like, here's a bunch of people that I don't even think Stephanie won out challenges, really. So
she only wins one immunity in Guatemala.
Right. So, like, I think her game there is a very unique game that is benefited from. A lot of people want to work with me just because of who I am. And I'm wondering if any of these new era people or Survivor super fans, maybe like a Riz God at all, are they like clamoring to work with Sari, or are they clamoring to work with Stephanie? Like, is she going to lose out on that aspect again? Because is she an icon of the game that people have always wanted to work with, or is that going to be an element in her 50 game?
Yeah. And I think it's interesting what you talk about here with this, like on Palau, obviously she goes to so many tribal councils. She gets 8 votes against her. On Heroes Villains, she goes to 2 tribal councils. She gets 6 votes against her. In Guatemala, she only got 2. So she's sitting with 16 votes against her in her entire career, but only 2 in Guatemala. So I do think there was a bit of that celebrity status that she was working off of that was definitely working in her favor, like you're saying. And now it becomes, does she still have any celebrity status when she steps onto this island? Like, if I'm walking out there, if I was Riz God, right? Like, let's just say I'm Rizzo or Savannah.
Bill God.
Nobody has seen me play. And I am the person who's going to be like, nobody knows me and I'm a big fan of the show. I'm obsessed with Colby because that was who I loved when I was a kid.
I've never heard you say that. That's
crazy. I'm going to have a hard time voting out Sari, even though I know every part of me should vote out Sari. Does Stephanie hit that level? I think Stephanie, to most of these people, is probably going to fall more into the Jenna Lewis era because Stephanie's third game is really forgettable. And Guatemala has so little representation on other seasons that I think a lot of people haven't revisited it. And if you're watching Palau, you're watching that going, oh, that's cool of Stephanie, but she never has a chance to win. And you could argue, not really argue it, it's kind of true up until Mookie shows up. She's the biggest loser in Survivor history. So
where
I think that it's
Mookie at for this 50 cap.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for her, I think, to get to that celebrity status that helped her in Guatemala. But also, I'm not worried about Stephanie if I'm playing. I don't think Stephanie can win. I saw her final tribal council against Danny. It was awful. So I think Stephanie could benefit from being a lower threat old school, maybe like a Kimmy Kappenberg, even though that would sound crazy if you compare their first two seasons.
One caveat of that. Is Stephanie on the show because she's not afraid to argue and bicker? And would that be a thing of like, okay, let's align. Let's do this. Let's make a six-person alliance in our tribe of eight. We can vote out Riz God and we can vote out, I don't know, who's another one? Jenna Lewis. And we can move forward, the six of us. And then 6 days later, after we've won every challenge, Stephanie is mad that you used the machete. Stephanie is mad that you ate another coconut. Do you think Stephanie is going to be able to turn that off? Or do you think as people maybe get older or maybe get like, come on, bro, this is a all-star season, you know better. Do you think Stephanie is going to have arguments or do you think Stephanie is going to be able to hold her tongue to get further this time around?
Here's what's interesting about her. She's married with kids now. The last time we saw her play, she wasn't. But she's also married to a professional baseball player. So it's like you're talking two very competitive people now raising children. I doubt they're raising their kids to be like, as long as you tried your best, it's okay.
And they run that household like the Navy.
I'm saying like Stephanie and her husband are probably running around being very competitive. They play mini golf and it's who's going to win. And if whoever loses buys ice cream, and that might mean the kids are taking their money. And from the lemonade stand and they're buying ice cream. Like, I think Stephanie is still going to be unbelievably competitive when she comes out here. So I do think she'll argue. And honestly, if you were to say, is Stephanie a hero or a villain now based on everything she did in her first year, everybody would always call Stephanie a villain. She's only a hero because on her first season, she was the last remaining, which made her ultimately the America's Sweetheart underdog. But even on that season, she rubs people the wrong way. On Guatemala, she says things that are insane. And on Heroes Villain, she gets in a fight with everybody. So for me, because of her confrontational personality, it's so different from the new era people. I think she absolutely more fits into a villain role now than a hero role. And I actually think that that is going to make her one of the more entertaining people on this season. I can't believe I'm saying that. But I really do think that she will end up being one of the more entertaining people on this season. Because I think the new era people are a little too nicey-nice.
I did watch her season, but I don't remember any arguments she had on the Traitors. Was she arguing with people on the Traitors? Or it seemed, in my remembering of her, it seemed like she was more passive, thinking that Ceri and her were working together and going to go far. And we never really,
Season one of the Traitors is so bad. It's so bad. I don't even really remember because it's
they play with the newbies
and it's a mess.
What I'm trying to say about it though is I think the last time we saw Stephanie was that she was a little more passive because she had the golden ticket with Ceri and then Ceri backstabs her because of the nature of the game. Because I think Stephanie made like final eight or six.
She makes it far. Yeah.
And I don't remember her blowing up on as much as people as Kate and Rachel were getting into fights. So it is something where maybe that isn't part of her game whenever she thinks she's good. Whenever she's in the majority, she could be happy-go-lucky. Anytime there's some kind of heat, I think she'll turn up the heat instead of being like, we got to remove the gas fire. We're pouring water on gas fire is what I'm assuming will happen.
Yeah, she was seventh place in the Traitors. And I think like, I don't know, man. Like, I think we're going to get a different version of Stephanie, but I still think it's going to be competitive. I think the Traitors is such a weird game and they have a hard time figuring out who to edit. And that is one of those shows where if you're the Housewives type personality and you know how to lean into it, or Big Brother or what Kate was doing, like Rachel and Kate knew how to get their screen time. Stephanie doesn't know how to fight for her screen time there. But I think on Survivor, she will. She
still got cast on Survivor.
Yeah. Like, I think she will. Just real quick, other things that McKenna threw in here. She set the record for the lowest placing contestant to be the highest placing member of their original tribe at seventh. It was then tied by Jeffra, Emily Flippin, who's also on this season, and Mary. So that's how much of a disaster tribe she was on. it's only been four times that somebody's been seventh place as the best placing person on their tribe. Tough, bro, and we see three tribe starts all the time.
How did somebody not break that? I guess usually five people make it and emerge in the old school seasons. And so
that would automatically get you to
Sean six, Kenneth probably. Is fifth. So, yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, because so it's not sixth and Borneo.
It's not a crazy record. It's like one off of what's kind of expected.
And then she's the first castaway to experience all three phases of the game. She was voted out pre-jury, served on the jury, and was a finalist. So she's the first one to do all of that. And I just think this one's fun because of the way the season went. She's the only person on Palau to be on more than one tribe because she's the only one who goes from Oolong to Koror because they don't call it a merge. They just call it a...
assimilation or something.
Something like that. Absorption or something.
Absorption. So, it's the grossest word ever. I tried
to So that's pretty much everything you need to know about Stephanie. So I'll just ask you this. Stephanie winning chances. Are you thinking that she can get in with some of these Colbys and Cerise? Is her threat level low enough? Or is this game going to be moving too fast for her?
And we'll find out whenever she's on. No, I think if I had to give her a placement, I'm gonna guess somewhere in the 17 to 11 range.
Okay.
I think she'll rub somebody the wrong way. I think we're gonna... Blake, you keep putting people in the 17 to 11 range. Well, the other people that I'm doing, I'm gonna go a little bit higher on.
We haven't gone to Angelina and Q yet.
Yeah. Ooh, spoiler. But I do think Stephanie will rub somebody the wrong way, and it'll be like, why don't we idle out Stephanie, or why don't we, we don't really need her, do we? And like that conversation will deteriorate, and then it'll go, yeah.
I think Stephanie is very useful in challenges early on this season. Her threat level is lower than a Genevieve. It's lower than maybe an Emily. She's not going to be fresh in people's minds. D is way bigger of a threat. But then I think it gets to the point where it's like, okay, but Stephanie's expendable. So it's a matter of, is she on a tribe that loses three pre-merge tribe immunity challenges? Because then she makes the merge and then she could be dangerous. Or is she on a tribe that loses five? Because at that point, she's gone. And I think that's what it's going to come down to with Stephanie. So that's everything you need to know about Stephanie LaGrossa Kendrick. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think about Stephanie on this season. Which version of Stephanie is your favorite? That's kind of what I'm curious too.
Like, does her last name mean the gross one?
I don't think so, Blake. I don't think so.
Just
thank you all so much.
That's for something you like didn't need to know.
Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time with another episode of Everything You Need to Know About.